Hey everyone, welcome back to A Life of KG. Today I wanted to focus on profit making. Now, industry standard in the beauty space is really low when it comes to businesses actually making a profit. So I thought, let's get Helen on the show. She is one of my masterminders. She has a beauty salon in Cranbrook in Kent, and she is smashing it out the park with the profit. So I wanted her to share how and her hints and tips on that, so you guys can start implementing that within your business. So without further ado, here she is. I would love to introduce you to Flawless Beauty Accounting, which is owned by Ariella, who specializes in providing exceptional accountancy and bookkeeping services tailored to the beauty, hair, and aesthetic industry. Her modern and personalized approach sets her aside from them traditional accountancy firms. Her mission is to help beauty business owners navigate through that crazy world of tax and business finances. Ariella has helped her clients save over £1 million since she established Flawless Beauty Accounting back in 2020. To contact Flawless Beauty Accounting, you can click on the links in the show notes, and Ariella is giving a huge 50% off your first month. Guys, just really quickly before we start, I need you to join me on my free training that I'm hosting on the 3rd of March called Booked Out Beauty. It's a 3-day challenge, and it's for those that want to build their businesses, want more clients, want to be more profitable. It's not to be missed. I only offer this training once a year, and it doesn't cost a penny. So go to the show notes, click on the link, and you can sign up, and I'll be able to send you all the details in your inbox. I'll see you there. Helen, welcome to the Life of KG. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thanks for coming on. So I've been really, really looking forward to this episode because you're my superstar. I just love it. But before we get into that, can you just introduce yourself to everyone?
I can. I'm Helen. I'm a lash and brow artist, not just a lash tech. I'm also a salon owner, a trainer, a wife, mother to 3 daughters, and a dog and a cat. I live in rural Kent, and my salon is in our little town in the high street.
And you have a beautiful salon, because I come to your open day, didn't I? And it was just stunning.
You did. Thank you.
I love that. I'm going to have to say about the lash tech thing, because there's going to be other things that happen on the podcast where I'm going to say just the lash tech, and everyone's going to think I'm being really rude. So we was obviously in Marrakesh last week, right? And there was this running joke between you and Lisa about the lash tech. Do you want to elaborate a little bit?
Yeah, the some of the girls on the business retreat in Marrakesh discovered that I didn't go to college, so I don't have an MVQ in beauty. I kind of came about salon ownership in a different route. I retrained later on in life, trained as a lash tech, and then kind of my journey evolved, which we'll obviously talk about later. So the girls discovered that I wasn't college trained, so nicknamed me just a lash tech, and it was all done in good humor, and it caused a lot of laughs throughout the few days that we had in Marrakesh, where I am just a lash tech, but not doing bad for just a lash tech.
No, you're doing extremely well for just a lash tech, so take it. So let's go back then. Before you've been doing all these amazing things, what was childhood like for you? What was your growing up and everything like?
Very normal, I'd say, although not for one person, isn't normal for another. I had a very happy childhood, lived with my mum and dad and my brother, who's a few years older than me. We lived in Essex. I'm an Essex girl. Really happy. I went to grammar school, was very average at grammar school. Where I was kind of with the elite, you know, brain boxes in the area. And I was just a very average student, but loved school. Then after school, wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do. So kind of looked at myself, thought, what am I best at? and I was quite good at French. So I went to university and did a French degree, not just a Lash Tech. And then after uni, I was trying to put off working for as long as possible, if I'm honest. So I went traveling for a year, went with a girlfriend from uni, and we traveled around the world for a year, which was amazing. And then came home and had to settle down and actually venture into the world of work.
Wow. So obviously you've gone on to doing your own business, which we'll get on to that. But was your parents in business or anything like that? Like, where do you think your work ethics come from?
I don't know. Well, my mum was a primary school teacher and my dad worked for Ford Motor Company. He kind of, you know, job for life, started working for Ford when he was about 18 and never left. So no, neither of them self-employed, never had their own businesses. My brother's been very successful doing various things, but I don't, work ethic, I guess, is from my mum and dad. My mum and dad have always kind of worked hard. They weren't people to kind of have days off sick. But I don't really know where that kind of entrepreneurial business owner element has come from. I've never dreamed of owning my own business, never expected to be in beauty. So I don't know where it's come from, but I love it.
And something you said there about your parents, like, we're never off sick and stuff. I always say that that's like a huge thing, like when you're growing up, because my mom and dad were never off sick either. So then I was never off sick when it comes to school or work. Now in my adult life in the business, like, you'll never catch me off sick unless I'm like extremely sick, which, touch wood, doesn't really happen. And then we see that, don't we, as employers, like, if kind of their background has been like that, the therapists will be off sick more, won't they? Do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I think we underestimate something like that, don't we? Like, we know that we learn so much from our parents, like manners and respect and, you know, right and wrong. But you don't think that something like that is going to be instilled in you from a young age. So, yeah, I mean, my girls are the same. My girls don't have days off sick at school. I don't let them. It's like, get into school unless you're dying. Yeah. You go to school. And it's great. Makes for a great work ethic.
Yeah, I've really figured that out over the years. I can kind of spot, is this therapist going to be good? Or even if they're not therapists, like, anyone that kind of works for me, like, what's their background with their parents and stuff? And it really helps when you're like employing. Yeah. I've figured that out. So what made you get into beauty? Because I'm pretty sure that wasn't your first job, was it?
No, I've never worked in beauty. Ever, and I'm quite old now.
So what was you doing before beauty?
I originally worked as a trainer for Ford, and then I worked in the city for a money broker in IT and service. Then I left there when I was pregnant and ran a B&B with my husband for 10 years, which was lovely because we were both around for the kids when they were really little, especially my husband being around as well was really nice. But after 10 years, it's like, I'm out, I'm done. You know, it's relentless. Everybody dreams of running a B&B and thinks it would be really idyllic, but it's really, really hard work. 7 days a week, all the hours, a lot of bathroom cleaning. I can clean a bathroom in 4 minutes because of that.
You did a training course on that.
So I've lost my train of thought now. So never ever looked into beauty. But we were fed up of running the B&B. We decided to move. We moved counties. We moved from Essex to Kent. And once I'd got the children settled, I was like, right, I need a job. What am I going to do? Didn't want to go back into London. I wanted to be around for school drop-off and school pick-up. So I was toying up with what I could do that was flexible and that would fit around the children. And I used to get my lashes done, quite liked it, obviously, and decided that I'd go and learn how to do lashes. Oh, that could be quite good money. It's flexible. It fits around the family. I can do it from home. So signed myself up to a lash course in London and fell in love with it. I mean, not straight away, obviously. There's been a few moments where in the early days, I wanted to throw my tweezers across the room. And I do actually remember crying when I had a client on the couch. She didn't know, but I remember just sobbing behind her thinking, I can't do this. But yeah, fell in love with lashes. then trained in brows, love brows. And then, yeah, my journey in beauty has just evolved from there. I love it. I absolutely love it. And if you'd have asked me 20 years ago if I'd ever do beauty, I'd have, no. It's just never been on my radar. But now I absolutely love it. I love the industry. I love meeting other salon owners, and have made really good friendships with salon owners. And I've just got such a passion for it. It's lovely to find a new career later on in life. You know, I'm 48 now. And I think I went on my lash course when I was 41. So I feel quite privileged that at 41, I had my babies. Last one went off to school, and I found a completely new career that I absolutely love. How lucky am I?
I feel that that's like a real good thing to shout about as well, because you hear all the time, don't you, either you're too young to start this or you're too old to start that. And I think a lot of people start in a career, especially when they've like maybe gone to uni and things like that, and go into a career and then feel like that's it then for them, like they don't really see themselves past anything more, whereas you've done all the things but yet still completely changed career in your 40s and made a huge success of it as well.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that we punish ourselves, really. And as women, our lives do change quite a lot, don't we? You know, we leave school and we get jobs, and we become mothers and everything changes. Suddenly, you know, our priority is with raising that child. And I think that you can then evolve from that. And I know a lot of women who have their kids and they're like, oh God, what am I going to do now? You know, everything has changed. I can't go to the career I was doing. What on earth am I going to do? And it is really nice to know that you can change. And I think it's great for my children. I've got three daughters, and they can see that at 41, mummy's carved out a completely new career that she knew nothing about and has made it into a success. That's possible. So you never need to be stuck in a job you hate. You can always follow your dreams. It's never too late. You're never too old. It's great.
Your girls must be so proud of you. Like, it must be amazing for them to watch you and see everything that you've built.
Yeah, I think they are. They're also quite happy that mum's got a beauty salon and they can have free treatments.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great perk.
What about boys? Like, can I have a facial? Can I get my lashes done?
Aww. So when you'd done the lash course then, did you then start working from home?
Yeah, so I did the lash course, and then in my house, I converted a little room into a lash room, and it was lovely and it was perfect. It was kind of tucked away from the rest of the house. I remember getting all ready and opening my door and deciding why I'm opening on this day. And it's really weird, isn't it? You're so naive. Like, well, the phone's not ringing. I've advertised on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. There's the client. You just expect to suddenly open your door and have this client base. And I think I had about one client a week to begin with, and then kind of slowly maybe two or three clients a week. 6 months in, I was really, really busy. It took me 6 months. I mean, in those days, I would work whenever anybody wanted me to work. So I did a couple of evenings and I'd work till 10:30 at night. And now I think, God, I would never do lashes till 10:30 at night. But you do that in the early days. You want to be accommodating. You want to get as many clients as you can. So I was really happy from home. It worked because it fitted around the children. And if it was school holidays, obviously I could still work. And then one day I was lashing a client, and she said, oh, I've got a room, a little like beauty space in the next door village, and it's up for rent. My tenant's moving out. Are you interested? I said, no, not really. I'm quite happy here. You know, this works for me, works for my kids, works for my family. And then I thought about it, and I do believe in destiny. I do believe that things come to you for a reason. You know, the universe gives you things for a reason. So I hadn't gone looking for this. It had come to me, and maybe I'd be a fool to not pursue it. So I did. So that was January 2020. I opened, and it was just one room with a lash couch in and two nail desks. So I had a self-employed nail tech in there with me, and opened in January 2020 and then shut in March because of COVID. So I think I was open for 11 weeks and then we closed. but then obviously survived COVID, loved COVID. That sounds a bit weird, but for me, the opportunity to learn during COVID was just enormous. You know, I really, really maximized the use of that time at home. And I did loads of courses, loads. I mean, you were the same. I think it's when I found you was in COVID, because you had the time to sit at your computer, networking, talking to other people in the industry, doing different courses, leveling up. And I did so many courses on, you know, kind of brow techniques and lash styling and business courses, social media courses, marketing courses. It was just brilliant. And then coupled with the networking opportunities as well to meet people and talk to other people in the industry, that was amazing. Tough financially, obviously, but, you know, I really did make good use out of it, I think. Then went back to the salon, obviously, when we could reopen. And I knew that I was going to outgrow it quite quickly. You know, I was fully booked weeks and weeks and weeks in advance. I knew I needed more and I wanted more. Mm-hmm. So after, I think I had it in total for a year and a half, most of which we were closed because of COVID. Yeah. And then I found premises in my town. This salon was in a tiny little village, so we didn't really get any passing trade. I wanted to be in my town. It's a small town, but it's a town. It's got a high street. So found premises here and opened in April 2022.
Wow.
With a team of five and just, you know, completely different. It was just a massive, massive step up from my little cozy room with me and a self-employed nail tech. And yeah, we've been open for nearly 2 years now.
It's been a journey. It's been amazing.
Yeah.
So did I then start working with you? It must have been in COVID then. Was it the membership you first come into?
It was CCC I first came to. When you first set up CCC.
That was the first time that we connected. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's,
I mean,
so
you
crazy.
Were on my radar before then, and we chatted, hadn't we, about training. Yeah. And then, yeah, I joined CCC and that was it. Wow. So I was a member of CCC before I opened the Foundry.
Yeah, and I remember us putting in place the plans and what we were going to do staffing-wise for the big salon.
Yeah.
Because going from that jump, so there's lots of people that will be listening that are in the place where they are rushed off their feet and they are on their own in their small location, and then going into a big salon is like, okay, well, I'm going into a big salon that's going to be more money to pay out, then really you're going to have to find staff. Was you really scared in that situation? Like, you opened the doors with staff, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. With one full-time, two part-time, and an apprentice.
Because you've gone from paying just yourself and the small rent of the other place to then having all of these overheads overnight. Like,
yeah.
How did you sleep?
Really well, actually. I'm really lucky. I don't really worry about things. I am a kind of fly by the seat of my pants kind of girl. I'm not a worrier. I mean, when you put it like that, it sounds massive. And looking back now, that was massive. I think I obviously had faith. I mean, I'd taken you on board as a coach. And obviously, you know what I'm like. Everything you teach, I just suck it up and absorb it and implement it and more. So I kind of knew that I'd put everything in place that I needed. I don't know, maybe I'm just brave. Maybe I'm stupid. Well, I'm not stupid, but maybe I'm just all right with risk taking. But it's worked.
It's definitely worked.
I think I'm just lucky.
See, I don't know. I don't know if it's luck. I think it literally is. One, I think as a real entrepreneur, risk comes. Like, you have to be that risk taker. Like, because to put it bluntly, you could have lost everything, right? Putting that much into a business and the overheads that you had. But the risk didn't fit, didn't scare you. But then also it naturally gives a bit of a rocket up our bums when we have got so much risk, because like, we'll have to make it work. Because I know that's how I felt. I had to make it work. There wasn't an option to fail or to give up.
Yeah, that's right. Because I took out a loan to do the salon. And I remember talking to my husband and saying, oh my God, you know, the tiles on this wall are coming out at £1,000 just to tile this wall, but they're really nice and they look fantastic. I really want them, but should I, shouldn't I? And I remember him saying to me, put all the money you can into it because you need it to look good. Because people, you know, obviously a few clients knew me from the old place, but I had other staff to fill. And he said to me, it's got to look good because that's how you're going to get people through the door initially, a bit of your reputation, but also the way it looks. So yeah, maybe the debt that I went into to set it up propelled me. I don't know. I do think I'm lucky that I don't naturally worry about stuff. I don't.
Yeah, the worry doesn't hold you back.
I worry about people. I don't worry about anything like that. That risk didn't really bother me. I guess, I don't know, maybe something in the back of my head know that I had to make it work because I needed to start earning money for the family. You know, I needed to start contributing. So maybe I pushed it forward. I don't know. But I do think I'm kind of blessed in that way that I don't have sleepless nights.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a huge factor for sure. But like you said, like when you come on board with me, I was like, oh my God, if everyone was like Helen, oh, everyone would be super successful. Anything I teach, you do run with it. And that was evident when I come to the salon for your open day and everything was perfect. The branding was just beautiful. I mean, branding down to a T, which I think straight away sets you apart from anyone else because you've created brand. The touch points in the salon stood out to me for like a mile, because I was like, the touch points, and it wasn't until I went in as a client, right? Like, it was like going in, I don't work for you or anything, and then naturally seeing all these touch points around the salon, which then made me think, oh, I want a pedicure. And I was like, things we've taught you to do, and you've done it, and it really works. And now you're literally one of the most profitable, well, I think you are one of the most profitable salons that I currently work with. And I mean profitable, like we can have turnovers and we can have huge turnovers and that's all well and good, but actually what's left at the end of it is what is the main thing of building a company. What do you think it is that has made you profitable? I want to give a shout out to Sky Premium Life products. Now, you will know from last year that I was testing all of their supplements and I absolutely love them. They were a sponsor on this podcast last year and they also are this year. I have tried all of their supplements, from collagen to their hair tablets to they've got focus tablets, anything that you need help on with your body system functioning, whatever that is, they have help. And I just love them all. I would highly, highly recommend them. We also started selling it within our business, making extra money in the salon with retailing the products. And because they're extremely reasonably priced, clients are loving them. Lots of my clients were also using them and they're selling them in their businesses too. So if you want to grab a discount, you get 15% off their products. The link is in the show notes. If you want to sell it within your business, reach out and I'll tell you exactly how to do that. Or you can just message them directly. But I highly, highly recommend you take these for your own well-being. And I also recommend if you have a business that you're selling it within that too.
Soaking up everything I'm taught, definitely. I think it's so many different things. I think it's standing out from everybody else, standing out from the competition. And the way I do that, the way I think that's important is customer service. I want people to leave the salon thinking, oh, that was nice. You know, I've had my nails done, but oh, I also was greeted by name. You know, we have a new client come through the door who we've never met before. When she walks in the door, it's, hi, Sandra, welcome to the Foundry. Immediately, she feels special. She's never even set foot in that salon before. And walking into a beauty salon can be intimidating for some people. They don't know who they're going to meet. They don't know what those girls are going to be like. So small little things like that. You know, we put clients' coats on a warmer so that when we give them back to them, when we put them on them, they're nice and warm. We have coffee and we have flapjacks and brownies from a local baker. I haven't been to a salon. I know lots of us do that in our group, but I've never been to a salon where I get coffee and a piece of cake. I mean, that's just lovely. So it's those little things, isn't it? I think it's things like we send clients a £10 voucher on their birthday. So, you know, they receive that and, oh, how lovely. I've never had that before from any other salon. So I think customer service is massive, really, really huge. And then I think the other thing is pricing. It's about pricing. It's, you know, how many times do you hear people saying, oh, so-and-so down the road charges that, so I'm going to charge this. And, you know, you've taught me, don't look at what anyone else is charging. It's not important. You can't factor that into your sums when you're working out your profit margins and the revenue that you need to take to sustain your business. You've got to work out, you know, I've worked out what I want to earn per hour and then try and base everything around that. And what I think I'm worth an hour. I don't care what Sally down the road is charging. She's got a completely different business to me. She's got different overheads. She's got different drivers. She's got different clients. Her clients aren't my clients. You know, we're not in competition with each other. We're not targeting the same audience. So I do think that's where a lot of people go wrong, is they undersell themselves, and they shouldn't, because they're worth so much more. And I think that's where we get it right, is the pricing and the customer service, making people feel special. And even if we are a little bit more expensive than somebody else, people like us because of those extra little touches, because of that friendliness, because of that warmth, because of that professionalism, because of the branding, because the salon looks so beautiful. All those little factors make it a success, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I'm huge when it comes to like personal, the client journey, like, and how they feel within the salon. And obviously you've got that all down to the T. But what you're very good at, as obviously a client of mine and knowing how you work, you are so good at the numbers. And I think there's so many people out there that will just see the money coming in, but then maybe you don't know what they're taking a month, or don't actually know what that profit margin is, or don't know if that treatment is actually priced right. But you're so good at that. I mean, every month you will send me figures off the accountant and we do a little happy dance, like every single month, like we will do that. But you're so into the numbers part of it too. I think that scares people. I'm glad that you just said that, being crap at maths, because I think lots of people will naturally just go, I don't like numbers, not good at math, so I just don't look at that part of the business. But that's definitely set you aside.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm rubbish at maths. I'm rubbish at saving. I mean, you know, my husband would laugh if I said I was good at numbers because it's my downfall. You know, in my personal life, I've always been rubbish. And in the business, I still spend what I want to spend. I still buy what I want to buy. You know, we've come back to Marrakesh last week on the retreat after chatting to other salon owners. And we talked about what we sell as retail products in the salon. So we've all come back, you know, with other new ideas of things that we can sell that other salons are selling, other salons around the country, not our next door neighbors. And I've just bought the stuff, and I know that I can just buy the stuff. And I don't know where that comes from, that suddenly I'm someone who is rubbish with numbers and rubbish with maths. But in my business, I guess it's just too important to me. You know, I've got wages to pay at the end of the month. I can't sit there, or I don't want to sit there thinking, oh my God, can I pay these girls? You know, I'm responsible for their salary, which is responsible for their mortgage payments and their rent and their bills. I have to make enough money in the salon to look after those girls and to make sure I've got money to send them on training courses so that they can grow. You know, it's a massive responsibility. So I guess I just take it really seriously. You know, I am money motivated. I am driven by money. So that helps. I'm also quite good at getting not deals, but I make sure that I'm paying as little as I can for things like my water, my electricity, my phone and broadband. Places where you can save money, I do. But then places where things are more important, like couch roll. I have nice couch roll, as opposed to the cheapest, crappiest couch roll you can get. I have bamboo lash ones rather than plastic ones because that's important to me. So I'm happy spending money on things like that and like eco-friendly towels or Navy professional tools. But then I'll save money on my broadband or my micro brushes that I get from eBay. So I think I'm very good at that as well. But yeah, who knew that I'd be good at figures when I'm just rubbish at maths and failed my maths GCSE.
It just shows you, don't it? And like I said, your motivator is money, and you're not shy at saying that. And that's one of my motivators too. And I think understanding and believing that you still need to pay yourself from your business too, it's not just about the outgoings that come out, like you factored your wages and things when it comes to the business, which people don't do. They always pay themselves last.
I know, and it's the biggest mistake, because if you do that, then what's the point? You know, what is the point? We know how many hours we spend doing this. If you're not going to pay yourself till last and you're going to pay yourself the minimal amount, you might as well go work for someone else and not have all the aggravation. You know, I always make sure there's enough to pay myself. I'm always trying to pay myself more. I put money in pots every twice a month. I take a percentage and I put a percentage in a savings pot. You've taught me this. A percentage in a profit pot and a percentage in my VAT and corporation tax pot. And that's just brilliant because, you know, tax is, can I say, a bitch. You know, it's awful if you look at how much money you have to give in VAT as a service orientated salon. But because I put it in a pot every twice a month, I don't even see it. I put it in and then I forget about it and I forget it's there. And then when the accountant says, make sure you've got your money for your VAT and it's X, I'm like, yeah, I know it's there. That money's already gone. It's not even mine. It's gone. So I think even little things like that, changing your mindset around the money, you know, not siphoning off, but moving it into a pot so that you've got a little pot for refurbishments, or if you want to buy a new pedichair, you know, we need to decorate the salon because it's nearly 2 years and I've got the money set aside in my little savings pot. So it's not going to eat away at the normal account that everything else has to come out of. So I think it's just putting those things in place as well. I mean, ask me to save money at home and I'm terrible. But with the business, my mindset is just completely different.
Yeah, it's really good. Really good. For those that want to start a business or thinking of starting a business, is there any advice that you would give them?
Do it. God, is there any advice? Well, I think you've got to, you either are or you aren't. You know, I think that, you know how there was a time when everybody thinks, you know, you go into beauty and you do your course and then once you're good, you go and be a trainer. And then now it's like, once you're good, you go and be a coach. Or once you're good, you've got to own a salon. Not everybody has to do everything. Not everybody is right to train. Not everyone is right to coach. Not everyone is right to own a salon. It's okay to be in your lane. Being a salon owner is hard, hard work. You have to commit your life to your salon. I mean, my salon isn't my baby. My babies are my babies. And if I sold it tomorrow, I'd be okay with that. But whilst I do own that salon, I have to be prepared to be thinking about that salon 18 hours out of every 24. You know, I go to bed thinking about the salon. I wake up thinking about the salon. I mean, you know, phones are quite bad, aren't they? Because, you know, you are always on duty. You know, this morning I'm getting ready for this podcast and I've got a client messaging me about an appointment at 10 o'clock. She shouldn't really be messaging me, but the salon's not open yet because it's 7:30 in the morning. You know, you don't ever switch off. And I think, again, that's what makes my salon a success, is because I don't switch off. So I am always there. So I am always on it. Rather than, you know, you get messages from people, oh yeah, I used to message that salon and they wouldn't get back to me for 2 days. Oh my God. I'd stress if I don't get back to someone within the hour. You know, that's just not how you can run a successful profit-making business. So I think that if you want to be a salon owner, you've got to be prepared to put in the hours. You know, I remember before I opened, I'd be sitting in the dining room till like 12, 1, 2 in the morning. And my husband, what are you doing? I'm creating touch points. I'm writing policies, you know, all those things behind. I'm setting up a pension fund for the employees, you know, all those things that you have to do, all those insurances, all those fire extinguishers, the first aid courses, all those little things that nobody sees. You know, it's easy, I could own a salon. I see that we're charging X for a set of lashes. Oh, think about that money in my pocket. You've got to think about all the money that goes out, all the work that has to be done. You've got to love it, and you've got to be prepared to put in the time, I think.
Yeah, because love that advice.
You can't switch off. But I think that I do love it. And again, being with the girls in our group, in our mastermind group, everybody loves what they're doing. And if you love what you do, then it doesn't feel like work. You know, I would rather sit with my laptop on an evening than watch telly.
Because we're also same-minded, aren't we? We're also that.
Yeah. Telly to me is like a waste. I mean, I do enjoy a good box set, don't get me wrong. But if I'm on my own on an evening, if my husband goes out, telly doesn't go on, sit with my laptop, because that's what I want to do. Yeah. I want to do that. I want to grow my business. I just like it, whether it's learning stuff or doing stuff for the salon. So I think you've got to be of that mindset. You've got to prepare to put in all those hours, and kind of the business has to come first. You know, I've got a family and I've got children who, all right, they are first. They are my priority. But sometimes the salon does have to come first if someone calls in sick or if something goes wrong. And I think that, yeah, that's my advice. You've just got to put in the hours. You've got to learn as much as you can. Get a business coach. Soak up all the information you possibly can. And just be prepared to put in a lot of hours.
Yeah, definitely. I think then what we'll do is we'll leave this episode on maybe 3 points of how to make your salon or business more profitable, because you've given so much knowledge and information away on here. But because the industry average is around, I think it's like 4-5% profit if a salon is lucky. What are you on profit wise on percentage?
A bit more than that.
Just a bit more. Come on, spill the beans.
I don't know if I want to share that, do I?
It's only percent, not numbers.
It's only a percent. Oh, yeah, it's only a percent. Around the 20 mark.
Around the 20 mark. Yeah. So 3 points then of building like 20% profit in your business, let's say that.
Mm-hmm.
What are we agreeing on? Customer service.
Customer service is key. Customer service, charging your worth is massive. Your pricing is massive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't compare yourself to other salons. Stay in your lane. So price yourself right. Get customer service right and put in the hours. I'd say they're my 3 bits of advice that I would give to somebody.
I love that.
Get a coach.
Whoop, whoop. I must say,
and love it, and love what you do. You've got to love what you do. You've got to love it, otherwise you're not going to put in the hours. You've got to love it.
You have. And from me as a mentor coach point of view, you really do see those that love it, you know, soak it all up, run with it like it is their life, and those that aren't, because the speed of their success is completely different. So you have definitely got to love it. Those that want to check you out on socials, where shall we send them?
The salon is Foundry Cranbrook. So website's foundrycranbrook.com, and my socials are Foundry Cranbrook. Hence my branding.
All branded. So go and check out Helen's salon and their pages. If you love this episode, please give us a share on socials. And Helen, it's just been a pleasure having you on. I absolutely adore you.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
Are you a trainer with a salon or an academy and would love to grow with government funding, but just need some help and support? Or maybe you're somebody that would like to start your own academy or even just train. Get in touch today with TMB to help you on this journey. See our link in the show notes.